Tuesday, April 21st, and we are approaching the NFL draft. So today we are going to preview the NFL draft and what it could mean for your fantasy teams. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Who would you take number one overall if you were the GM of the Bucks?
If I were the GM of the Bucks, it would be Jameis Winston.
Jamie, would you go Jameis?
I think you look at... From an on-field standpoint, he's the best quarterback in this draft, and they need a quarterback, so it's a good marriage. Hopefully, the off-field stuff is done with this kid.
I would definitely make sure I researched the off-field stuff before I made that pick, and possibly hire somebody to be assigned to Jameis Winston off the field to make sure he doesn't do anything stupid.
Yeah, if I were the Bucks, it would be Lovie Smith. You're going wherever Jameis goes. I don't care. If not, you're fired.
What if an employer hired somebody to like follow you around and make sure you didn't get?
How do you know they don't?
I don't know that they don't. I would assume that
they'd be wasting their money on me.
Yeah, I think they'd be wasting their money on all three of us. Send us an email.
So, wait. Back up for a second. Dave and I share a fantasy baseball team together.
Uh huh.
And Dave's favorite team, the White Sox, beat one of our pitchers last night, or not beat one of our pitchers, cost Trevor Bauer a win.
Yeah.
And so I was expecting an angry text from Dave saying, like, something, damn White Sox, or along those lines. Maybe more expletives involved.
Not me? Expletives? Never.
And then I realized, yeah, Dave's sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Dave was out cold 30 seconds after the Bulls beat the Bucks in Game 2.
At least you stayed up for that. That's good. The White Sox
scored four runs. Yeah,
that was impressive.
Thank you, guys.
White Sox scored four runs tonight.
I had to get up early today. I'd go to the gym.
Now, listen,
that's
you familiar?
The truth, actually.
I know you guys are...
Excuse.
I don't know why you can never hear me. I just think you're not listening to me.
Yeah, that's correct.
Then start listening, for goodness sake. Forget it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's talk football. We'll do news and notes, and then we'll get into the draft, and we'll do emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put football podcast in subject line. Antonio Brown wants a new contract. He skipped the first day of Pittsburgh's offseason workouts. Did he skip the second day as well?
Mm-hmm. If he starts skipping training camp, that's when I'll get a little worried. But we're a long way from that happening.
Do you know we're back to get a contract extension before their contract was up?
What was that question again to cut out?
Do you know the last non-quarterback for the Steelers to get a contract extension before his deal was up?
I think that's a trick question. I think the answer is none.
I think you're right.
Bill Cowher. Okay, none. All right, Larry Fitzgerald says he thinks... thanks, guys. You're true friends today. Mm-hmm. Larry Fitzgerald thinks he can still play at a high level. Do you guys?
Yeah, if he goes to Denver. I mean, that's like, they call it mile high, so you're, a mile up. That's a high level.
I spoke to Larry last week at Anquan Boldin's charity event. And he, I think you have to look at the Cardinals receivers and kind of say, okay, 2014 is not a fair way to judge them because Carson Palmer played six games. And in those six games, their passing game was great. Adam's leaving right now, so I don't know what's happening.
I have to go turn the on-air light on, so I'm going to leave for like 5 seconds and not hear what you're going to... No. I'm
you can
keep
just
the,
leave for the whole podcast.
I'm going to keep the headphones on so I do hear what you're going to say.
Jamie, you were saying?
Larry Fitzgerald, indicated...
Should we come back and have something completely different, talking about something different when he comes back?
I think he's still
here. Hey, I'm here.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe we could...
No, you
that's
can't.
Why Lincoln died.
Go ahead. Fitzgerald looked in great shape. He's been spending a lot of time this offseason getting ready and playing golf as well. But I think he's going to end up being a good value pick. You're not going to see him anymore as a week in, week out starter for your fantasy team, but as a third or fourth option, you'll be happy when he's playing well, which he was before. Right around the time Palmer tore his ACL, Larry Fitzgerald was putting up good numbers. and I think will be a decent kind of reserve receiver for you.
We got Philadelphia signing Tim Tebow. Am I saying it right? Tim Tebow?
Tebow.
Tim Tebow. Now Dave can actually draft him for fantasy and not have just a useless roster space.
Well, let's put it this way. If he hadn't have been signed by anybody, he probably would not have made the game for CBSSports.com. So, meaning you couldn't pick him up because he wasn't on a roster two straight years. But now that he's been added to a roster, he can absolutely be.
Well, he has to make the roster.
He's included. He's in the game. I got to get him in because I got to have my good luck charm for week 16. It's the only reason why Tim Tebow is even mentioned on the podcast now is just so in week 16 I can stash him on my championship roster bench.
Still a lot of Philip Rivers trade rumors. We can talk about that some other time. Unless we need
Why?
To talk about
Why
it now.
Why should we talk about that some other time?
We're trying to get a guest on in the next minute or two.
Ooh.
All right, go ahead. You have 30 seconds.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, and the only way the Chargers should make this move is if they really like Mariota and they are sure they can get him.
All right, I'll tell you what. We can talk about this after our guest, if we get him. And Minnesota, they're going to keep Adrian Peterson if they can't trade him by the end of the NFL draft. That's according to the St. Paul Pioneer Press, which listed six teams in the mix: Dallas, San Diego, Arizona, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville. Dallas, San Diego, Atlanta, Arizona, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville in the mix for Peterson.
Is that the order in which you'd like to see him go? Like, Dallas is where you'd love Adrian Peterson to go, and then if he can't go there, then
I'd go Arizona over San Diego.
I'd go Arizona over San Diego, and I'd go Atlanta over San Diego, too.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. Would you go Atlanta or Arizona?
I'd
go Atlanta.
Atlanta's probably better from a division standpoint.
It's worse from an O-line standpoint, though.
Yep.
Well, it should be, with that storyline, with the quarterback storylines, it should be a pretty exciting NFL draft, 3 days of fun. Now go to cbsports.com/NFL/draft. We got prospect rankings, mock drafts, latest news, all you need. We have four mock drafts: Rob Rang, Dane Brugler, Pete Prisco, and Will Brinson. And right now, we are going to be joined by one of those mock drafters, Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com senior draft analyst. All right, Dane, welcome to the show. I think we had you on last year. It was great stuff. And now you have to live up to that. So we appreciate you coming on.
Hey, well, it feels good that we can say there's only single-digit days to the draft now. So it's going to be here before we know it. And it'll be good to finally talk about the reaction to picks instead of the speculation. So this is a fun draft. It's a fun time of year. There's a lot of crazy information out there, but hopefully that's what we can talk about now and kind of put everything in perspective.
I'd say that it's a deep draft as well. There's just so much talent at running back, at wide receiver specifically, that fantasy owners are really going to sink their teeth into. And last year, we got a real treat. We had so many wide receivers that helped fantasy owners out, not just Odell Beckham, who was a monster. And Mike Evans was a monster, too. Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews, Brandon Cooks for a portion of the season. There's guys I'm not even listing. The names go on and on. It was so deep. And I feel like this year's group of wide receivers are just as deep.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people judge a draft based on the talent at the top, which this class doesn't have, those elite, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson. The quarterbacks are debatable. So we don't have those elite talents at the top, but you're absolutely right about the depth, especially at running back and wide receiver. And it's going to be tough to match what we got last year with the wide receiver class. What we had, four rookies over 1,000 yards receiving, which is, we never happened before. And usually wide receiver is the position that takes the longest for rookies to transition, just the speed of the game, the chemistry with the offense and the quarterback. A lot of college wide receivers aren't asked to run that full route tree, so there's just a learning curve. But we saw last year guys adjusting quickly, and we could see that again this year with depth at every point in the draft at the wide receiver position, not only at the top at wide receiver, but the early first, the late first, into the second, third, fourth round. So I think you're absolutely right. The depth is really outstanding this year at the running back and wide receiver positions.
Dane, stay on wide receiver there for a second. Who's your favorite? Is it the top two? Is it Amari Cooper and Kevin White, or do you have somebody else in mind? And then who's a sleeper receiver that you could see going in, day two or day three that could have an impact right away?
Well, I think the conversation at the top is it's a three-man conversation. I love Amari Cooper and Kevin White, but I think Devontae Parker is right there in that discussion. I think all three are deserving of top 10 consideration. Cooper and White, I think, are one and two. And depending on who you talk to, it's 1-2, 2-1. I think it's just a preference there. With Cooper, you have a little bit more polish. You have a little bit more production. He did it against SEC schedule. With Kevin White, you have a little bit more upside, I think, because of his physical gifts. He only did it for 1 year as a JUCO transfer. But, yeah, when he what he did last year was just outstanding in that West Virginia offense. He shows a lot of, I think, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, that type of mold as a receiver. So I think you can't go wrong with those guys at the top. You know, some teams are going to get some really good receivers. And then in the second, third rounds, you know, some guys I really like, Trey McBride, a wide receiver out of William & Mary, a player I watched last summer, and I instantly just fell in love with this player. It reminded me a lot of Pierre Garçon when I watched him at Mount Union. Pierre and I were seniors at Mount together, so I watched every single snap he took. And to me, McBride is just a carbon copy of what I saw from Garçon at Mount. So I think with McBride, you're going to get a similar player, and he's going to come at a discounted price. He's probably going to go somewhere in that mid to late third round.
Now, you've got 7th overall, you've got Kevin White going. 9th overall, you have 7th overall to the Bears, Kevin White, and Amari Cooper, 10th overall to the Rams. And then you have more wide receivers throughout the rest of the rounds, and Devontae Parker, 12th. Does it matter to you where they go? If we're looking for fantasy impact for the guy who has the best chance to be, say, Odell Beckham, or maybe not quite that good, but Mike Evans this year, does situation matter to you when you look at these guys, or is there one player whose talent really stands out and he's going to be the best no matter what?
No, I think fit and, you know, the situation and definitely plays a big part. And, you know, if say a Kevin White goes to Chicago in an offense that's, you know, really ready made, you know, Jay Cutler has his issues, obviously. But when you have Matt Forte in the backfield and you have a receiver on the other side with Alshon Jeffrey, you know, Kevin White has a chance to step in and contribute from day one. And it'll be interesting where these guys end up, because I think that does play a big part in not only long-term success, but rookie success. And, you know, say if Amari Cooper goes to the Rams at number 10, where I currently have him slotted, with Nick Foles, a brand new quarterback in that system, there's a lot of unknown there. Obviously, it's a crowded depth chart at wide receiver. Amari Cooper is a talented player, but where does he fit with a former first-round pick, Tavon Austin, still there? Brian Quick, they're bringing back Kenny Britt. Stedman Bailey still there. So there's a lot of it's a crowded depth chart at wide receiver. So Amari Cooper, where does he fit on the field? Is he going to see the field right away? Obviously, the Rams, if they take him in the top 10, they're going to take him to play him. But you know what? We thought that with Tavon Austin too, so you just never know. But I think the Bears at number 7, if a wide receiver goes there, I think that would be the at least my pick for a wide receiver that can contribute early in his career.
I'd be stunned if the Bears did it, Dane, because I know John Fox's history, and typically he goes defense in the first round, and he's made some incredible defensive picks as a head coach throughout his career, and that team needs so much help on defense that I'd be surprised. I guess I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they went with Cooper or White. But I just think that they need a pass rusher, and they can still get a pretty good one there at 7.
Bears fan versus draft guru in the showdown of Chicago draft.
I'm just.
You're absolutely right. What you're saying makes perfect sense. But when it comes to the NFL draft, you know, if everything made sense, then the draft wouldn't be as fun. So, you know, especially transitioning to a 3-4 scheme, you could look at Danny Shelton there, you know, a foundation nose tackle. That's a possibility at 7.
What about the edge rushers there?
Yeah, depending on which edge rushers are still there. I think Dante Fowler's probably off the board. Vic Beasley, we'll see if he's there. But if those two guys are off the board, would they go a Shane Ray? Do they feel comfortable with Randy Gregory? Bud Dupree out of Kentucky, he's in that top 10 mix. But you know, just looking at what Chicago has done, you know, with the wide receiver coach put Kevin White through his pro day drill. Chicago's bringing in Kevin White for a private visit. They're doing their homework on him, so I don't think you can rule him out, but I think you're absolutely right that a defense has to be a priority for the Bears on draft weekend. And when you're sitting there at the seventh pick, you know, you're in a situation where I don't think you address that top need. You address you get the best player that you can get. And so where does Kevin White rank for them? If he's one of the best players in this draft, he might be the best player on the board. And with a first-year GM there, I'm not sure they would go with maybe the top need. I think they might go best player.
Dane, how do you sort of go about this? Do you look at it from when you're doing your mock drafts? How much of it is team need, and how much of it is this is where I think the player fits from your standpoint?
It's a little of both. I mean, but at this point, you know, we're under 10 days from the draft. I'm listening to what I hear from league contacts and, you know, trying just to match guys up. And, you know, I promise if you ask Ted Thompson to do a mock draft right now, he might get 4 picks right. You know, it's just so tough to do to peg these guys to the specific team when, you know, it's hard to do trades. There's an average of 6 draft day trades in the first round alone every year. So, without predicting those trades, because that's really the toughest part. There's no way to predict how some of these trades are going to go down. That could cause a ripple effect that changes everything. So at this point, you know, I'm just trying to listen to what my league contacts are telling me that, you know, I had one scouting director tell me 2 running backs are going to go in the top 20 this year, which we've gone back-to-back years without a first-round running back. So I think that would surprise a lot of people. And so it's just trying to match up need with what teams have shown the most interest in some of these prospects. Obviously, each team gets 30. They get to bring in 30 players for a private visit. They're not going to waste those visits on players they're not interested in. So, you can try and connect the dots there. So many moving parts in this type of thing. So you're just trying to make educated guesses at this point.
Let me hit wide receivers one last time. I'm going to give you 3 names. I think these are guys that, you know, maybe they're first round picks, maybe they're second round picks, but I want to know not where they're going to go in the draft, but what kind of opportunity they would have to make an impact as rookies. Nelson Agholor with USC, if I'm saying that last name right. Dorial Green-Beckham. And Breshad Perriman.
Oh, come on. Let's throw Philip Dorsett in there, Dave.
You want to throw Philip Dorsett in there,
Pete Prisco says that he hears Dorsett's going in the first round. So I think – I'm not sure if all 4 of our mockers have him in the first round, but he seems to be like a big buzz guy right now.
I want to talk about my guy.
And then we can talk more about the Bears.
Yeah, right? I already pulled a Knicks in this podcast where we talked about your New York Knicks more than
– Yeah. Sorry, Dane, to cut you off.
All right, Dane, those 4 receivers not first round, second round, just impact for 2015.
Yeah, Nelson Agholor, he's a player that some teams are really high on. It wouldn't shock me if he ends up in the first round. He has a little bit of Marquise Lee to him, and more than just the Trojan connection as teammates last year, but just lean athletes, very good route runners. They can be, possession targets at the next level, number 2, number 3 options. Not a guy you see as a number 1, but can play in the slot, can play on the outside, just very athletic pass catcher. So I think Nelson Agholor is going to continue that trend of USC receivers in the top 50 picks. Robert Woods a couple years ago, Marquise Lee last year. I think Agholor is going to be in that mix too. So he's somewhere in the top 50. Dorial Green-Beckham is such a wild card. You know, from a talent perspective, he might be the most talented receiver in this draft. 6'5", 240. He runs a 4.4. There's so much natural ability there. Now, he didn't play last year, transfer from Oklahoma. You know, we know about his issues at Missouri. Someone will take a chance on him. Maybe not in the first round, but, some point early in the second round, maybe. Somewhere in the top 40, top 50 picks. He's going to face a little bit of a learning curve in terms of his route running. He's very unpolished, so I'm not convinced as a rookie he'll be a big-time contributor, but in the red zone is where Green-Beckham can absolutely make an impact, even as a rookie, because of that size potential. We saw it with Kelvin Benjamin last year. He has just the ability to outjump any defensive back out there and win at the catch point. And so I think Dorial Green-Beckham, not going to be maybe from a catch and receiving yards perspective, be overly productive, but from a touchdown perspective, depending on where he goes, he could be really a red zone fit for a team. And Brashad Perryman, one of the biggest risers this year. Last year with Blake Bortles as his quarterback, a little underwhelming, and then he loses Blake Bortles, and his production actually goes up as a junior, comes out early. We know his dad, he played in the NFL for 10 years, so NFL teams love that, the bloodlines. 6'2", 215, runs a legitimate 4.240. So he has the speed that you want. He can take the top off of defense. But again, a guy that's very raw with his route running, a little too many drops on his resume. Brashad Perryman's not a player I'd be betting on to make a big impact as a rookie. But if he goes to a team like, say, the Ravens in that late first round, he might get a chance to play early and often in his career and almost fill that Torrey Smith role where, he's going to see a lot of downfield targets and test a lot of vertical passes with Joe Flacco there. So I think Brashad Perryman, where he ends up, will be a big indication of what his rookie year might look like. And Philip Dorsett, Dorsett was a player that I liked over the summer and then all through the season. I felt like I was like the only person hyping him as a second or third round pick. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl and just the speed, it shines off the field. People are really just taken aback by the speed. And all of a sudden, he's moving up into the first, second round range. And I think it's absolutely not crazy to think he could end up in that first round, because when you can move like Philip Dorsett, it's just you don't find many guys like that. But, with Dorsett, he's not a finished product. He sometimes moves too fast for his own good. If that makes sense, with his route running, he'll be a little sloppy. The ball skills are okay. They're not great. He'll definitely have some body catches, which will lead to some drops. He's not the biggest guy either. He's about 5'10", 185. And I worry about him going over the middle and taking some hits and being able to last and hold up. But, with a guy like that, with that type of speed, they're going to test him deep. And so Dorsett, if say he goes to the Saints, which the New Orleans Saints have shown a lot of interest in Philip Dorsett, if he goes to the Saints in that late first, early second round somewhere, that would be a great fit. Pair him with Brandon Cooks. That would be two of the fastest receivers in the NFL on the same offense. So that would be fun to watch.
Well, Dan, you can't trust Hurricane players anymore.
I don't agree with that.
How are Florida Gators doing in the news these days, Jamie?
Former ones are terrible.
Ah.
Okay. Oh, that was a pretty R-rated joke there, Dave.
I don't think it was R-rated.
It's PG-13. We'll give you that. All right, let's move on to the quarterbacks here. 1 and 2. Are they going 1 and 2, Dane? Winston and Mariota?
I think so. I think Winston, we can talk about his issues off the field, but the natural passing traits on the field, not sure Tampa Bay can pass him up at one. And so I think he's the favorite to go number one, and I think he will end up at number one. And then right now, just talking to people around the league, you get the sense that Mariota will be that second pick. The bigger question is to which team. The Tennessee Titans, obviously, they currently own that number two pick. But do they feel strongly enough about Mariota, or do they feel stronger about Zach Mecklenburger, who's obviously already on the roster? The Philip Rivers rumors we've heard, you can't just dismiss those. Those are a possibility. The Browns, they're in the conversation. I know they drafted Manziel last year, but they're so desperate to fix that quarterback situation with two first round picks. You can't rule out the Browns as players to possibly move up and take a shot and maybe get Mariota. So right now, where we stand, it feels like Winston Mariota go 1-2. The bigger question is which team will be picking Mariota with that second pick.
Well, what's your gut feeling? Where's Mariota playing in 2015?
All right,
it's so tough because the Rivers rumors just won't go away with San Diego. With Philip Rivers not wanting to be there, it sounds like LT came out yesterday and said that he doesn't think Philip Rivers will play again for the Chargers, and he thinks there might be a draft day trade. So the Chargers are a team I'm not ready to rule out there. And so, I'll say there's a draft day trade, and right now I'll guess the Chargers. But I mentioned the Browns before. I really feel like there's a strong possibility there with those two first-round picks. Just depends if the price is right. I don't know how much more they're willing to give up, but they are desperate to get that quarterback situation right. And so Marcus Mariota is a player they have their eye on and a player they might go and get if he's available and the trade makes sense.
Do you think either of these guys have fantasy relevant rookie seasons? And we know that you love fantasy football, so
right, of course.
Would you be looking to take a late round flyer on either Winston or Mariota?
Winston, absolutely, and you know, part of that is the Bucs quarterback situation. I think Jameis is going to a depth chart, quarterback depth chart, where he can win that job early in his career. If he's not starting by the season opener, wouldn't shock me if he's starting, you know, a few games in, similar to like Blake Bortles last year. And Winston's a player that, you know, it won't shock me if he has early success. Now, he's going to have his lumps through 28 interceptions over his career at Florida State. So, you know, those aren't magically just going to disappear. But, you know, he also threw 65 touchdowns. And so I think Jameis Winston is a player that you would look at as a possible flyer late in drafts. Marcus Mariota, now, you know, part of that depends on where he ends up. If he goes to Tennessee, or say New York Jets, then I'm not really high on Mariota as a fantasy player. But if he goes to a team like the Chargers with Rivers no longer there, then obviously he'll be expected to produce from day one. So Mariota becomes a little more relevant when it comes to fantasy if he goes to a team like the Chargers. But I think Jameis Winston is a player later rounds, you know, someone you want to take a chance on and late in the draft. Jameis would be my guy there.
Look who Winston would have to throw to in Tampa Bay. He'd
right.
have Mike Evans. He would have Vincent Jackson. He'd have Austin Seferian Jenkins. They don't have any kind of a running game, at least not yet, that will take any pressure off of him. I don't know if they have a defense that will take any pressure off of him. He'll throw a ton there, and he might get some pretty good numbers considering the wide receivers. So I'm with you on Jameis, and we'll see where Mariota ends up. Is there any other quarterback, anybody else in this draft, who you think fantasy owners need to know about, maybe not necessarily for 2015, but maybe a starter down the line?
Yeah, you know, I'm not high on these quarterbacks this year, but they're going to go high. You know, it's simple supply and demand. Winston, Mariota, they're going to be, you know, top five. We know that. But then after that, who's that number three quarterback? Is it Brett Hundley, UCLA? Is it Bryce Petty, Baylor? Garrett Grayson, Colorado State? I think it's going to be Bryce Petty, and I think a team like the Saints or the Rams. I think those two teams are looking really hard at Bryce Petty somewhere in that early second round, maybe even the late first. You can't rule that out in order to get that fifth-year option. But say that early second round, the Rams and Saints both picking there. Take a chance on Bryce Petty with the Rams. Nick Foles is a free agent after the year. Groom Bryce Petty for a year. He becomes a starter in 2016. And then with Drew Brees, with all the everything going on in the roster right now in New Orleans, it's only a matter of time before Drew Brees finds his time is up. So I think the Saints are looking at a quarterback to possibly groom as his successor. But in terms of 2015, besides the top two guys, I can't see any of these other quarterbacks making much of an impact. But for 2016 and beyond, Bryce Petty, I think that's the player to watch, especially if he goes to a team like the Rams or the Saints early in that second round.
Interesting that you say the Saints there.
Sean Payton said at the owners' meetings that he wouldn't be opposed to taking a quarterback if it fits their need. He said they don't really go into a draft overlooking any position. So I think at some point, as they're making things pretty clear, they're not committed to really anybody.
Right. And, talking to
their franchise is in a little bit of a state of turmoil from the top down.
Right. Exactly. And talking to people around the league, I get the sense that Breeze wasn't really consulted about these deals. Jimmy Graham being shipped off. I think Drew Brees found that out on ESPN. You know, it wasn't one something that they really kept him in the loop. Same thing with Kenny Stills. It's a situation where I think Drew sees the writing on the wall, and it's just a matter of time. And so, yeah, if depending on how the quarterbacks come off the board and how it plays out, the Saints have the most picks in the top 100 this year. So they have some flexibility to, you know, depending on who is on the board and how it plays out, they could possibly take a quarterback early.
You guys want to talk about rookie running backs?
Nah, nobody cares about
that. Yeah. what do you think happened? This is going to be kind of a weird question since we're talking about the NFL draft. What do you think happened to Bishop Sankey in his rookie season? And how did you feel about him this time last year? Do you think he could do anything in his sophomore season?
Yeah, I liked Bishop Sankey. I didn't love him, though. I was surprised he was the first running back drafted last year. We didn't have a running back in the top 50 last year, and then Sankey, and then that created a little bit of a run of running backs off the board. I'm not sure. I think if it's just a situation where he didn't know the playbook well enough to see the consistent snaps. We saw that in a few places with rookies. Terrence West in Cleveland, another one who it just came down to having a good grasp of the playbook and knowing the offense and being able to be reliable on the field. But, you know, they drafted him. They made him the first running back drafted last year for a reason. So I would think you'd have to have some kind of optimism for him as a sophomore year that, you know, he'll kick it up a notch and be more of a contributor and more of an impact guy for that offense.
Dane, you had some news yesterday on two running backs with medical situations. Todd Gurley, and I never say his last name right, but Ajayi?
Ajayi, yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk about what's going on and kind of what their outlook is for this year?
This time of year, you know, we're so close to the draft. Some stuff starts to leak out, and you know, we can watch all the tape that we want on these players, but the medical information, that's something that all of us on the outside, you know, we don't have a great grasp on, how the medical situation is with these players. And so with Todd Gurley, he tore his ACL in November. We know that. At the combine, he said everything's on pace in terms of his rehab. He considered himself to be, on pace to be back by September, or really by August, by training camp. And from everything I've heard, I've talked to multiple teams. They've confirmed that from the medical rechecks last weekend in Indianapolis. The knee is recovering really well. It was a simple tear. It wasn't a complex injury, so it's healing very nicely. Todd Gurley, he's going to be somewhere. He's going to go off the board somewhere in the top 20 picks in this draft.
He's going to be the first running back taken, no?
Right. It's just a question of finding where he's going to go. Right now I have a Miami at number 14.
Really?
San Diego at 17. You can't rule that out yet. Miami's shown a little bit of interest, and I think they're being coy about their interest in him. And so at that point, best player on the board. I mean, Gurley's one of the best talents in this draft. You can make the case he's the most talented player in this draft. And so if he's still available at 14, I think for Miami, it might be a situation where it's a good match. And you mentioned Ajayi. Some not as good news for him. Several teams have dinged him for his knee. Now, he tore his ACL back in 2011, so this isn't it's not a re-injury, but the knee was so damaged in 2011 that even though he was back on the field the last 2 years as Boise State starter, and you know, he was the first player in FBS history last year to rush for over 1,800 yards and catch over 500 yards receiving, first player ever to do that. And so the workload, he was a workhorse, and the workload was there, but teams are really worried about the longevity of the knee. It's basically bone on bone. There's not much cartilage left. And so, you know, he could come in as a rookie and contribute right away, be rookie of the year. That's not out of the realm of possibility, but what's his draft value for a player that teams are worried about might not be able to fulfill his rookie contract? And so that's the wild card. Is doctors and trainers, they can't give an accurate answer. Will he play 3 years or will he play 6 years? There's just no way to know with that knee. And with we know at the running back position, obviously, there's so much contact, take so much of a beating, that it's really tough to peg where his draft value is. I think there's a good chance we see him fall out of the second round, and then some team in the third or fourth round maybe takes a chance on him and, you know, see, you know, how long they can get out of him. And so this has come from multiple teams, so I think it's this isn't just a rumor or some bad information. There's definitely something going on with Jai's knee.
Okay. So Gurley, hopefully he'll be ready for the start of training camp. He can contribute to fantasy right away.
Right.
There are other running backs who it's going to be situation dependent on whether or not they're going to be ready to contribute to fantasy right away. But let's take – I'll just throw out the Jaguars as a team that's got a big opening for a running back.
You disrespect Toby Gerhardt.
He was my guy last year too. And then Denard Robinson obviously did some things. They need a running back. So if you could rank – if Gurley's number one, let's rank after Gurley the running backs that you would like to see go to Jacksonville – because then they'll have a big fantasy impact this year. What would that ranking be after Gurley at one? If Gurley is your one, I think he is.
Yeah, Gurley is definitely one. To me, he's on a tier by himself at the top. And then after that, Melvin Gordon. To me, he's that clear-cut number two. What he did this year at Wisconsin, just unbelievable. Yep. I mean, he averaged 7.5 yards a carry. Now, does he bounce runs outside a little more than you'd like? Yeah, but I think he's such a quick running back, and not just with his feet, but with his mind. He reads blocks so quickly, and the vision to bounce runs outside or cut inside, he can do that. I think he fits any type of offense, blocking scheme, whether it's zone or he has everything you want. Balance, the acceleration, it's all there. He reminds me a lot of a Jamaal Charles type of weapon. And so the biggest concern I have with Gordon is, can he be a three-down back? Can he catch the ball out of the backfield? Can he be a consistent blocker? And so those are two areas where it's not that he can't do it, but he's just a little unproven in those areas, wasn't asked to have a big impact for the Wisconsin offense as a blocker or a receiver. So I think those are two areas where – there are some question marks, but I do think Melvin Gordon comes off the board somewhere in the first round. So the Jaguars do want him, and I think they're in a situation where it's a trade-up, trade-back situation to get Gordon. But if they elect to wait to the second or third round, Jay Ajayi made the most sense to me in that early second round for the Jaguars. But let's say that they pass on Ajayi because of the knee. I think it shifts to there's three running backs that I'd be looking at, and that's Duke Johnson out of Miami, Amir Abdullah, Nebraska, and then Tevin Coleman, Indiana. And I think all three are second round guys, and they all three bring something different. With Tevin Coleman, it's a little you see a little bit of Darren McFadden, a little bit of DeMarco Murray there, an upright runner, but he has home run speed and he knows how to take it the distance. He sees the field so well, the vision to read blocks, find holes, and he makes himself skinny between the tackles. Like I said, he has that home run speed. His average touchdown distance this past year was 40.3 yards. He's a home run waiting to happen. So Tevin Coleman definitely somewhere on that second day would be a good fit for Jacksonville. And then I mentioned Abdullah and Duke Johnson, two guys that aren't the biggest, but they're just so fun to watch. And, you kind of hold your breath every time they get hit, okay, make sure he gets up okay. But they're so fun to watch with the ball in their hands. They can contribute running and receiving. Like I said, just fun guys to watch with the athleticism. They can return kicks. They can run routes. They're tough players. They can run between the tackles. Now, they're not guys that are going to push the pile. But I think both players are guys that can contribute early and often to an offense. And the best fit for them will be to go to a backfield that has a few other guys, like Jacksonville with Denard Robinson and Toby Gerhardt. Amir Abdullah, Duke Johnson, they won't ask to be, the guys and, carry the ball 300 times a year. But they can contribute, say 150, 200 carries, and then also catch the ball maybe 50 times. So I think both those guys would be good fits for Jacksonville, either in the second or third round.
And if anybody hasn't seen Amir Abdullah's play against McNeese State, just Google it. It was maybe the play of the year, amazing play last season.
Won the game.
Yeah, it was just incredible. All right, I'm going to let you go, Dane. Just give us a sleeper, if you wouldn't mind. Any position, could be offense, could be defense, some guy you
punter,
love.
Punter.
Yeah, punter, sleeper, punter.
I know this is a fantasy discussion, but I'll go with an offensive lineman. If your team gets Ali Marpet, the Division III offensive guard, That's going to be good news for your backfield and your running back. He was at the Senior Bowl, and he didn't waste anyone's time. Ali Marpet, a player late second, early third round, he's going to be a long-term starter in the NFL. So make sure you keep an eye on that name.
All right, go to cbssports.com/NFL/draft. We have prospect rankings, the blog, combine results, mock drafts, everything you need, plus Dane Brugler's draft guide. There's a link right there on our website. Just go to his draft guide. It's very comprehensive. Everything you need to know as you get ready for the draft next week. Dane, thank you for coming on. Enjoy the other 25 interviews you have lined up for this week.
Dane, if you didn't know that, Adam, so in between lying on his bed shirtless petting his cat, he pours over this draft guide page by page, and I think by the time the draft comes, he has it memorized.
I did last year when I was hosted the show. It was very, very useful.
Yeah, it's a labor of love. It's basically the last 10 months of my life wrapped up into this PDF document. So the feedback's been awesome on it. So it's when it comes to scouting, you know, no detail is too small. So I try to pack it all in there, and glad to hear it's going to good use.
And I will be putting – yeah, go ahead, Dave.
It's open on my computer. It's been open on my computer for about 3 weeks now as I start to dig into these guys. And it's invaluable. It's a great way to spend – $10 on the draft.
I saw Dave carry into the bathroom, so that's tough.
What, the computer?
No,
that would be insane. The draft guide's on the computer.
No. I saw you carry it into the bathroom.
I haven't printed it out, so that must have been something else.
I'll be putting the last 10 months of my life on paper, too, and I'll be selling that. I'll let everybody know the details. Dane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Good stuff there from our Dane Brugler. We have a live NFL draft show on CBSSports.com during the draft next week. Make sure you check it out. Dave and Jamie will be on there talking fantasy. We got emails.
No, we're talking croquet.
You know what I like? I like croquettes a lot.
They are good. They are delicious.
Right? They are.
Croquet, not so much. Those will break your teeth.
Croquet, not as much. But you guys will be talking regular football and fantasy football.
We were just doing fantasy this time.
No, I guarantee you, you'll talk some regular football.
No, we were doing a separate fantasy segment for about an hour.
No. Fine.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell us what we're doing.
One element of actual NFL chat will be in that.
Taking everybody else off set, and Dave and I are going on to talk just fantasy.
I understand, but something will be mentioned.
Probably will be, but not on camera.
Ah. Okay.
God, that was a dumb pick. Why'd they do that?
Just to recap some of the things I thought were interesting. Dorial Green-Beckham, maybe a red zone impact, but Dane doesn't see. He's a little unpolished, so Dane's a little skeptical of year one fantasy impact. Rashad Perryman, same thing. Not betting on a big impact, but he would love to see him go to Baltimore. And New Orleans likes Philip Dorsett, and he thinks Todd Gurley is on a tier of his own.
Yeah, I love Devontae Parker and Nelson Aguilar. It was good to hear Dane talk about those guys and how they can be impact players. And don't get me wrong, I like Cooper and Kevin White too. But I think we'll hear from Cooper and Parker and Aguilar before we hear from Kevin White this year.
Interesting. I Rob Rang, another one of our draft gurus, said the same thing about the Dolphins taking Gurley at 14. That surprises me, that with all the needs they have at linebacker, cornerback, and obviously wide receiver, that they would look at Gurley that soon.
They must be in love with him.
I mean, obviously if you're in love with a player, it just doesn't make sense from a fit standpoint. Unless, of course, they agree with what Dane, he could be the best player in this draft, and you take the best player,
right?
No matter what your needs are.
Their investment in Lamar Miller, despite what we want it to be, it's minimal to that.
Oh, he's in a walk year. I mean, you know, they could,
right?
They could conceivably bide their time with Gurley coming back from the knee injury, and Miller still has a very successful season. But the fit doesn't, like how you kind of reacted to, you know, Dane saying the Bears taking Kevin White. The fit, based on the coach's history, doesn't necessarily make sense.
Right.
The fit on what the Dolphins
need
with that position,
uh-huh.
It just seems surprising that they would make that investment at 14. Maybe at 20 makes more sense if they could trade back.
I think they should trade back, but I think, Jamie, I think they should get a wide receiver.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. You know, if Devontae Parker and Todd Gurley are both there at 14,
right?
They pass on Parker, who could be, like Dave said, you know, one of the best players at his position. Maybe not the impact that a Todd Gurley has if Gurley hits to the level that a lot of people think he could. But, you know, it comes down to, can you get a Todd Gurley at 14 and then a receiver, you know, whoever it may be, falls to the second round?
not as good as one of those elite level guys, you're not getting a Todd Gurley in round two if he hits again to what he could.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing is with the Dolphins is the three main receivers are probably off the board by the time they pick.
I think there's a chance Gurley's off the board by the time they pick, too. At 14.
So those four skill players gone by in the first 13 picks. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Well, don't you think the three receivers are supposed to be gone by then?
I think they might be.
Well, it depends. Two for sure.
Two for sure. I don't know if they're all, you know, giddy about Devontae Parker like I am and like Dane is.
Yeah.
He might last past 14.
Well, I think
I think Gurley's going to go higher.
Parker's the guy that the local South Florida media has said the Dolphins are looking at, but some have suggested they need to trade up into the top 10 to get him. So, it's just one of those things, you know. Like Dane said, I mean, you know, we're here sitting here thinking that Marcus Mariota is probably going to be the second overall pick, not necessarily to the Titans, but a team's going to jump up there to get them. We could have a situation where he falls significantly in this draft. You know, if in fact nobody trades up to get him, because once you get past the Jets, there's not a lot of need for a quarterback at that spot.
Let's do some emails here from Pete F. in Tinton Falls, New Jersey. Is draft position a major factor with gaining an edge on an opponent and getting a decent roster? The past 3 years, I've gotten the first pick, and each year I considered it to be a blessing, but realized that it was a curse. I got my teeth kicked in, compared to when I drafted last in the 12th spot the years before, in which I made the finals or won my league. What draft position is a good spot to pick that you guys feel offers the best advantage?
I mean, this varies from year to year, but after doing enough mock drafts, I feel very good picking late this year. Because I think you can start your team with two really nice running backs, or one running back and one wide receiver if you so choose. But either of those two strategies will really help you out. And then getting in that late round four, early round five zone, I feel like there's going to be, if not a quarterback, then certainly a running back or wide receiver. I think you're in good shape picking late this year.
Yeah, I love picking the first four picks, actually, because I get to take one of the elite level running backs if I choose to. At four, I would consider Gronkowski, so I love that option as well. And then I find I still get two of my top 12 receivers coming back around, which
in two, you know, and three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you get.
Well, I mean,
many
we just did our last mock draft.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I ended up with Jamal Charles, Alshon Jeffrey, and Randall Cobb. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it comes down to what your preference is, how you want to start your team. I'll never turn down any draft spot. I feel like I'm going to have success no matter where I pick. But picking in the top four to me gives you the ability to pick one of the guys that you really love and not have to let it fall to you.
Truth is, it's not about where you pick in the draft. It's who you get and then who you start every single week.
To your point, Dave.
How lucky you get.
To your point, Dave, the draft that we just did, I had the ninth pick, and I ended up with C.J. Anderson and Jeremy Hill. And
right, you're the poster boy for this.
But I could have taken C.J. Anderson.
I see you hanging from a string and hang in there. That's the poster.
I could have taken C.J. Anderson and Julio Jones or Odell Beckham. So, yeah, I like that, too. All right, then. Next email from Chris in Vancouver. Hello, Richard, Cam, and Earl. I'm in a 10-team keeper league.
That's the Legion of...
Of hanging in there.
No. Legion of, Jamie.
Oh, no.
What's your word? What do you like to say when you're starting
hits?
Talking about. Come on. Don't be shy.
Now you know how it feels, Dave.
Boom!
There we go. I'm in a 10-team keeper league. I can only keep three. $200 PPR league, 6 points for a passing touchdown. Luck at $23. Charles at 52. Dez at 39. Cobb at 26. Jeffrey at 26. Watkins at 8. Hopkins at 4. Forsett at 1. Pick 3.
Gotta think about this one for a little bit.
I think
he's
got
some interesting names.
I don't love Forsett because I think he's going to get actually replaced at some point during the season, but I think the value is too good and Hopkins is too good, so I'd probably go with those two guys.
And?
It's a 10-team league. Throwing luck back is easier. You wouldn't keep Jeffrey if you could keep Cobb and Dez. Probably won't keep Cobb if you can keep Dez.
Charles at 52 in a $200 league.
Yeah, that's not a terrible price.
That's
in a
good
$200
price.
League. But Dez isn't that. It's not like they're like amazing. I think I would go Charles, Hopkins, and Forsett.
Jamie?
I'd probably go Dez Hopkins and Forsett.
Okay. Daniel Spungen from Indianapolis. Dear Marlowe, Avon, and Stringer, probably The Wire, I think you guys are forgetting an important factor in the Le'Veon Bell discussion, and that's league format. If I have the first pick in my 12-team league where 8 teams make the playoff, he's the first one. He's the first one off the board for me. If 4 teams make the playoffs, I'm more inclined to go Lacy or Charles. So that's a good point. I guess you do have to consider that.
I've never seen a 12-team league where 8 teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, why not just have all 12
teams? Yeah, I've seen 6 make the playoffs, which I guess is something to consider in this conversation. But if 8 teams make the playoffs, I mean, it's the NHL.
Well, all right, then, well, let's say you're in a 12-team league with 6 teams or a 10-team league where 4 teams make the playoffs. Does that change anything?
That sounds normal.
That's more normal.
Like, that's kind of what I would expect.
Does that change anything, though? Like, are you more or less likely to take Bell in either format?
No, I mean, it's an interesting point that he brings up, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, because you're taking him regardless of what your playoff situation is, because you're taking him with the assumption of, okay, I'm expecting 13 games of Le'Veon Bell being great, or I'm expecting, you know, it's going to take him a couple weeks to get back to where he's, you know, should be. And he may not give you the fantasy production that you're hoping for. You just have to, you know, sort of judge the player, not judge your playoff format. I wouldn't factor that into the equation.
You know, I don't know how many teams make the playoffs in everybody's leagues.
Well, you should.
Playoffs.
I want Le'Veon Bell on my team if I'm in the fantasy playoffs. That's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, he's not suspended those games.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to go. I have a meeting. I'm an important employee here. So I have to end the podcast.
All right, fancy boy.
Wow, it's a good thing you dressed up today.
Look at this.
I have a phone meeting.
A phone meeting?
So why don't you just put the headphones down and we'll finish things?
No, I have to go. I don't trust you at all.
Why are you leaving us?
Why? Because I just told you why I'm
leaving. I demand to know
who's the meeting
what
with?
The meeting is about.
The meeting is with your boss, our boss, and some other people.
Tell him we say hi.
I will. Thank you for contributing today, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Are we doing another show before the
draft? Oh, I'm glad you asked. We're doing a show Friday after round one.
Ooh, juicy.
Where we are going to talk both real and fantasy football. All right, I have to go. Goodbye.
Oh, my God. Look at him. He's in our
my goodness.
I'm going to be late for the call. Goodbye.
Your cats are calling you?
We do this once a week now. This is so important.
Meow.